These texts from St. Basil the Great continue our discussion and our examination of the understanding of psalmody and the interrelationship between psalmody and prayer in the early monastic tradition. Basil was the teacher of Evagrius, and he had himself spent time in the Egyptian desert, but of course he's well known in the Eastern Church as the organizer of Eastern monasticism and the author of ascetical texts, which are used widely in the Eastern tradition, and especially of his rules, which we've spoken of before, which Saint Benedict particularly recommends at the end of his rule. These sections of this series of selections are all divided up with a gray introduction surrounded by a gold border, and the first one is that psalmody and prayer are always apt. That is to say, in this selection from Basil's rule, he mentions that prayer and psalmody are appropriate to any time of the day. He's trying to point out that although there are particular times of the day when we do pray the office, as it had become, the prayer tradition was expanding beyond the twice-a-day prayers of 12 psalms that were normative in Egypt into the hours that we now have in the Liturgy of the Hours. He says, psalmody and prayer are appropriate for any time of the day. And in the yellow highlighted text, he mentions that it is possible for us to continue this rhythm of prayer and psalmody even when our hands are busy. This is something we can continue even at work. And I believe this is a practice that is good to recommend to people today, to have memorized psalms or portions of the psalms that they can continue using in their experience of prayer so that they can engage in prayer and self-offering, especially in rote or manual labor. And at the end of this selection, Basil says, this is how we fulfill the St. Paul's requirement to pray without ceasing from First Thessalonians. He then describes the orarium, the particular times of prayer that are to be prayed in community, and he gives a spiritual reading, a meaning for each of these times of prayer. He's following on a tradition that had already been consecrated by people like Cyprian and Tertullian, and even Clement of Alexandria. These times of prayer are becoming associated, or have long been associated, with particular spiritual events. The third hour, in a particular way, is a reminder of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. He also gives the traditional meanings for the sixth and the ninth hours, times that would become sext and known. He also rationalizes the practice of praying at night, the vigil office, and he provides as well, and it's a useful thing, examples of, if you will, little Bible verses that both justify it and texts that can be memorized, that can be used to something that one can call to mind at these times of prayer as well. So he's not only justifying the text by the times by reference to particular biblical texts, he's also providing texts for memorization. And in the next section down, he describes that variety is beneficial. He doesn't believe that we should just do the same psalms over and over, that there should be diversity in the prayers and the psalms. He's very much aware of the problem of routine and boredom, and so he believes that change and variety are good things. It provides us with a kind of a refreshment. And the last section, and I again invite you to look over these in more detail at your leisure, in his selection from the Shorter Rule, he here offers the phrase, which is a traditional text that that St. Benedict himself uses in the rule. What does this phrase from Psalm 47:7, sing psalms intelligently, salite sapienter, or salate sunetos in the Greek, what does this mean? How do we understand this? And his answer is, as we have the capacity to sense the different taste of different kinds of foods, that is what the scriptures mean in the case of the innermost mind by intelligence, or sunetos, or sapientia. We are to have an innermost taste that we use when we pray the Psalms. It's as if we are to have this spiritual sense of taste that allows us to be aware of a deeper underlying spiritual meaning, something like the examples of the words and phrases that we had in the texts from Evagrius Ponticus in his Scholia. There was a desire at this time to teach people to attend to particular words and phrases and understand them allegorically symbolic of a deeper meaning, a meaning that could open the heart to the presence of God. He says that if a person is affected in his soul by the power of each word, by the dunamis of each word, then he is fulfilling the requirement to sing psalms wisely or intelligently. And this may well lie behind Saint Benedict's use of this phrase as well, an awareness that there is a need to go beneath the surface, to allow the heart to be touched, so that the words and phrases of the psalm, which we may choose to linger upon or hold within our hearts, just as we do that in Lectio Divina, is also an invitation to discover a deeper meaning, a deeper power, a deeper dunamis to these words, and then to use that power, that word of blessing, as a way of consecrating our act of self-offering, our prayer that follows the psalmody.